With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This has been my favorite artist since I can remember, right? So this
end up. I mean, light skinned dudes got to hang together.
Got to stick together.
Y'all got to stick together, right?
I got you.
So,
fast forward, I just end up. This is how life worked. I just end up in Toronto. I end up here. You know what I'm saying? I've been hearing I look like him since I was 15 years old, so it's just funny, right?
And what's the perk of being being down with Draytsky, with Champagne Pappy?
Up on Game presents Conversations with a Legend. And now, here's LeVar Arrington.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into another exciting edition. Yeah, you know what it is. It's Up on Game presents Conversations with a Legend. And we're keeping it ball, but we went from oblong to round ball. I got my man Fred VanVleet on the senior, by the way. Make sure you get it right, you know what I mean? Because when there's a senior, that means that there is a junior that's nearby. So, man, I appreciate you coming on, my guy. Man, appreciate it. You're my first player, non-football, that I've had on as a legend. So, this is historical in some regards, in some aspects, and you got a great story, man. So it couldn't have been a better dude to have be the first guy. So I appreciate you welcome into the show, man.
Thanks for having me, man. It's an honor. Appreciate it.
Indeed, indeed. So let's get to it, man. You're from Illinois.
Yes, sir.
That's your spot, and they play basketball there.
Yeah.
Now, for what it's worth, and I come from a time when you know, I played against Antoine Walker and all them dudes. That's my era. I was playing for a team out of Pittsburgh, and we traveled around, and one of the team's main teams out of Chicago had Antoine Walker, right? So you 6'1", dog.
Yeah.
You 6'1", and you balling in Chicago, you balling in Illinois. What was that like? I mean, because basketball is a thing, obviously, where you're from.
Yeah.
And the first thing people look at is, how tall are you?
Right.
You know, everybody wants to see the eye test. I mean, what was that like coming up in the game? And everybody, I would assume people was like, I like that kid, Fred. But, man, the dude over here, like the Antoine Walkers, they handling the ball and they 6'8", 6'9". Yep. Like, was that like growing up?
Well, it's funny because Illinois is definitely a basketball state. So, you know, that's just embedded in the culture out there. I mean, from you go way back to guys like Zeke, but obviously, you know, MJ's imprint in Chicago and just what that meant to basketball, it just kind of flooded the community. So the way it worked out with the height for me was I actually played with my two older brothers. So I was the runt of the group anyway, just by age. You know what I mean? I played 2 or 3 years above my age pretty much from the beginning. And then by the time I got older to play with kids my age, I was so much far advanced and more mature than my peers that I was able to make up a lot of what I lacked in like size and even athleticism to a certain extent with just maturity, toughness, and, you know, basketball IQ. So where I grew up, Rockford, so I could just grew up as a underdog. You know, we grew up in the shadow of Chicago, so I was always fighting against that. Mm-hmm. I was fighting against playing with guys older than me, and I was fighting against, you know, the stigma of being a little guy. So I knew that where I wanted to get to one day, and I just studied all the guys in the pros and the college level that was doing it at my size. And that's something that I found a lot of success in, was like, all right, I know it's possible. It's going to be a little bit harder for me for sure, but it's definitely possible, and we've seen guys do it.
Indeed. And so you end up at Wichita.
Yeah.
You headed to Kansas.
Yeah.
I mean, was it by choice? Was it by necessity? Was it like how did you end up in Kansas?
Yeah, well, I didn't really like being recruited. Being that I was an underdog and being that I always had two chips on my shoulders, that the recruiting process was really uncomfortable for me because I never felt like it was genuine from the colleges, and I was trying to find a place where I could play and win and have an opportunity. So all of the big schools that I wanted to go to, the big name schools, you know, whether it was Illinois, none of really the Illinois schools recruited me. You know, those big name schools, they didn't really recruit me. There was a guy from Illinois on the staff at Wichita by the name of Dana Ford. He found me. We created a relationship. And I just looked at it like, okay, this team is going to the tournament. They have a great fan base. They're telling me I'm going to have an opportunity to play. Like, let's go see what I can do down there. And I just committed early. So I committed a little bit early, like my junior year. And then I played out the rest, and I got more interest after that. But I was already committed and locked in to where I wanted to go. So I just went out there and gave it a try.
Then you go to Wichita. You do your thing. NBA draft rolls around. They don't call your name.
Right.
They don't call your name.
Right.
How'd that make you feel, man?
Oh, I was heartbroken. I was heartbroken, man. You think about really 22 years of my life dedicated to the sport. The way I was raised and the way that I grew up, everything in my world revolved around basketball. That was our way out. That was, first of all, my way to get a free education. And second of all, this is how I'm going to take care of my family. So, mind you, I've been playing well against all of these guys that I'm seeing their names getting called. I had one of the top college careers out of anybody in my class. I played well against other guys, but I just didn't match the eye test and I didn't have the measurables. So I had a good feeling going into the draft that there was a chance I wouldn't get drafted. So it wasn't that much of a surprise. You know, my agent, he kind of prepped me for it. But at the same time, I was just devastated because, you know, that's part of the dream.
You still want it to happen.
That's part of the dream that you don't plan for. You don't plan to not get drafted. When you're at home and you're working on your game, or you sleeping, you have dreams. You don't think like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go undrafted. You dream about putting a hat on and shaking the commissioner's hand. So I wasn't really prepared in that regard. But you know, my ultimate goal was to have a long NBA career. I didn't really care about draft night that much. That was just the beginning of the story.
I could dig. So you knew you was gonna make your way, even if it wasn't by draft. Because I was going to ask you, did you feel like, man, like some dudes, they don't get drafted. It's like, is this it? Like,
yeah. So
am I going somewhere else? You know,
never really knew, you know what I mean? Up until maybe like 2 days before the draft, we started having conversations. And then that's when they got explained to me like, okay, these guys in the first round, their contracts look like this. The end of the first round, their contracts look like this. All of those guys you see get picked in the second round, a lot of them, money is not guaranteed.
Right.
Half of them may get sent to Europe or, you know, to the G League or whatever
it
may be. And so that opened my eyes a little bit to say, okay, it's not only about getting your name called. It's about trying to position yourself in a way to make a roster, because that's all that matters at the end of the day.
Yeah.
There's guys that get drafted every year that won't make it through the year.
That's
right. So once I started to understand the business of it, it really made me hungrier and just made me go harder and say, okay, now I got to find a way to make an imprint when I get my chance.
So you had more than two chips at that point. You said you was going into it. You had two chips. You had more than two chips by that time, huh?
No doubt. Yeah, they still there too. I just carry them around with me every day.
True. So you end up on G League.
Yeah.
And you had to work your way through the ranks. You know, part of the reason why I love doing this show is I love having the conversations where the struggle of making it through and figuring out at some point within the struggle that there's a process.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that process got to play out differently for some of us.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, the struggle is real. Mm-hmm. So you end up in G League. So let's stop right there, because we're going to come back to the triumph of it. But
right.
Let's stop right there. And you mentioned earlier the free education, the only way of making it out, and different things like that. Now, I know who you are, and not only do I know who you are, but I even, you know, I'm curious. So when I'm about to have conversations with dudes that I bang with,
mm-hmm.
I start doing a little bit of homework. You know what I mean? And you know, you talked about, you know, you mentioned your brothers and stuff like that. Now you're in business with your brothers.
Yeah.
And you guys do production and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You guys started a production company, but I saw one of the posts your brother had, and it was, man, we came a long way. I think it was getting off of a PJ.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, we went from what we went. It sounded like the muck of the mud to now we doing it. We getting it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the beginning. How did you come up? What were the struggles that you guys had to endure? You mentioned being outside of Chicago.
Yeah.
But what were the struggles that y'all were dealing with when y'all was coming up? I know the father part of it.
Yeah.
If, I don't know. You know, I don't want to go down any roads you're not comfortable going down. But, you know, I like to give these kids perspective.
Yeah. No
you
doubt.
Know what I mean?
No doubt.
So talk to me about the beginning.
Yeah, it's important. And I've grown to learn how to open up and share it, because I've learned that I'm not the only person with this story. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's millions of people with these stories. So just to go all the way back to the beginning, which was as early as I can remember, my biological father was killed when I was 5 years old. So now it's me and my oldest brother, Darnell, and it's my mom and my grandparents, and, you know, she making do with what she can, two jobs. We were kind of living like more on the white side of town where, mm-hmm. you know, her family was from. So from maybe like,
and your mom is white.
Mom is white. Right.
So my now you got the light skinned babies.
Yeah.
And y'all on the white side of town.
Yeah. She,
you know, and you ain't that old, but right. you ain't old enough where, you know,
right. No doubt. No
yeah.
doubt. So, I didn't experience like overt racism, you know what I mean? But I still got the, like, you know, I was out of place a little bit.
And right, like trying to figure it out, right?
So I had to learn how to play both sides. And I think from maybe 5 years old to like 8 or 9, I think when my mom eventually met my stepdad, you know, they moved in, we moved in with them. And so she went, you know, my dad kind of was, he was making it do what it do. You know, he was running around trying to make amends for his family. And she kind of went from that to a cop. So
okay.
she got with a cop, and my stepdad is like a military cop discipline. So we kind of went from like running around, you know, the white side of town, having fun. And, you know, we staying out as long as we want to. My mom's just trying to make it work for us to like discipline. Regiment.
Right.
You know what I mean? You gotta be on point. You gotta, you know, like it was just a different environment. So I got to see both sides, and you know, the schools that I went to and grew up in. At the time, it just felt like, you know, I was a normal kid. But looking back, you know, it was some rough circumstances and things that I'm not sure I would want my kids to have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So I seen a lot at an early age, and I think it just toughened me up a little bit, hardened me up a little bit, gave me a unique perspective on life, because I got to see poor white, poor black. I got to see middle class black, and then eventually, you know, go to college. Now I see white money, you know what I mean?
Like
certain
yeah.
things. So I got to experience a lot of that, and it just gave me a great perspective on life. But one thing that my parents really embedded in us was like, we had to be above average. We couldn't be average. And I think that they instilled that. My parents sacrificed their entire lives to make sure that me and my brothers got educations and we played sports. We didn't have to work. We didn't have to pay bills as teenagers. A lot of my friends did. A lot of my friends had to make ways for themselves and as teenagers to help their families. And we got to be kids. And that's one thing that I'll never be able to repay them for. So Rockford is like one of those Rust Belt towns where, you know, there was the big manufacturing plants, you know, Chrysler and things like that. And then obviously as those things move on, you're stuck with the leftovers. And so it creates a tough environment for kids to grow up in, not much opportunity and not much hope. But we just formed a family built around sports and love, and you know, everybody poured into that. And I was ultimately the one who was able to take it the farthest.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially when your social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. We all have had experiences where if you get that help, it helps you get through, whether it's talking to somebody you love or talking to someone professional. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with licensed therapists and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GamePresents today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GamePresents.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What was one of the biggest challenges during that time? Was it about balancing what you were living as Fred, the person, and with your family? Was it just being able to overcome the odds, being I know for me, when I was in high school, I had a lot. I come from a good family, but my family, they I come from some bangers, you know, they bang. And so it's like the balance of good and evil.
Right.
You know what I mean? You got one dude on this shoulder that's saying, you know what I mean? Like, do what you need to do. You got the other dude on this shoulder saying, man, F it. You know what I mean? Like, be a real one. You know what I mean? Whatever that meant at the time. You know what I mean? But how did you, for you, what was what you needed, what you felt you needed to balance to get immersed in that process in order to be able to put yourself in the position? Because there's a lot of things. You got to get good grades. Mm-hmm. You got to be in school. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to handle, I don't know if you handle, you dealt with girls, you know, during that time, or if you was too focused, whatever it was. But I know I dealt with girls And that threw my focus off at times too, because you're immature.
That's all you can think about. Yeah.
She, man, another dude then hollered at her, and she went for it. Yep. You know what I mean? So now I'm dealing with that. You know what I mean? Like you're dealing with a whole lot of different things. What did you have to balance in order to achieve what you were able to achieve to get to Wichita State?
You know what? I'm a big faith guy and very spiritual. And so now I can look back, I'm not that old, but I can look back to when I was 10 years old, 9 years old, and it's just nothing that I can say but God, right? So I try to tell people, like, I had a great family too. You know, I had two parents at home. My stepdad, I don't call him my stepdad, that's my father. He raised me. He took me and my brother in. So we were very safe at home. We had a very safe environment. Neither of our parents smoked, they didn't drink, they didn't fight. All they did was go to work and take us to basketball, football practice. So I was very safe. Now, as soon as I leave that house, I'm in the rest of the world. So mm-hmm. going to and from school was really like the most treacherous stuff I had to try to maneuver as a young kid, because when I get to this school, there's not really anybody else in the school that has the situation. I got it the best out of everybody. And we not doing great, but we probably doing better than most of my peers. So somehow, some way, sixth grade, as I'm going to middle school, we just formed, maybe it was three, four, five of us. There was like three, four, five of us friends who just kind of all had the same energy and just wanted to be cool, but we didn't really want to do the street thing, and we like playing sports, you know, we like girls, so we just kind of bonded over that. Mm-hmm. And my best friend, his dad was just like my parents, and so we just kind of locked in and formed our own bond, and just by the grace of God, we just ran into each other, and those are still the guys that I'm with to this day. So I think I was able to create my own world inside of what we were living in, mm-hmm. and it allowed me to stay focused. So my friends was kind of on what I was on.
Trying to do the same thing you doing.
We all trying to do the same thing. So we used to look at the other people and be like, damn, can you know, so-and-so, man. Like there was a kid who he was driving to school in sixth grade. You know what I mean? Like, like he's got his little duffel bag on. There's nothing in there but a 380. There's no books in there. There's no pencils. No calculator.
He's just ready to get busy.
It's a 380 in there. This 10 years old. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. At the time, we thought it was normal. We didn't think nothing of it. We just all right, we know we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
We don't want to do that. And then I'll never forget, it was like eighth grade, ninth, going into high school. That was one of our guys. He played on our basketball team. His name was Spider, and he ended up getting killed that summer. And I think that was like a shock to all of us. Like, yo, this shit real. You know what I mean? I had it as a 5-year old. I didn't really understand it at the time, but at 13, 14, going into high school, we know we want to get to wherever we want to get to. Like, okay, this is what's gonna happen if we go down that path. And we never blamed and we never judged nobody, but we just knew, like, we got to try to do something different. We got to do something different than anybody from this city has ever done. And, you know, thank God we was able to do it.
How does that play a part in how you deal with everyday people? Because for what it's worth, I mean, you're an everyday dude. Like, I could tell, like, by your vibe, you're a good dude. Mm-hmm. How does that play a part in how you interact? You know, because I know for me, like I said, it means everything to me. I that story's played out way too many. I got too many spiders. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So for me, it's always about trying to give back. Like, I'm going to leave here and go coach a football game tonight. You know what I mean? Like, everything is about trying to educate these babies, and I don't give a damn what color they are. Matter of fact, out here in Cali, you know, it ain't just black and white. It's black, white. It's more Mexican and Asian than it is anything else, right? So when you think about kind of, you know, that giving back aspect, it's about giving back, not about who I'm giving back to outside of it being the younger generations. How do you approach that?
Yeah, so I think for me, I just got started. Like, my second year in college, they had me come back to do the graduation speech. You know what I mean? So I'm 19 speaking to seniors, like, and then we come back again, we do a basketball camp. So I just knew I wanted to stay in tune with the community because I know what my parents and my good fortune did for my mindset and just having the hope and the belief to be able to go do that, right? So now, as I'm in a better position, I'm trying to afford opportunities to those who wouldn't have them otherwise. And so I keep that real close to my heart. Now, I still do anything that pulls on my heartstrings, whether it's hospital stuff or whatever. You know, we do Thanksgiving, Christmas giveaways. So before I even knew what a foundation was or how it worked, we was just trying to give back to our community. So now, as you know, we build it out a little bit more, we're kind of more strategic with it. But I think the biggest thing for me is going to those underserved communities and being present, being around the kids, being a voice and a voice of reason, or just the hope and just to give them that knowledge, because I had so many great mentors as a young kid that helped me develop into the man that I am. And I think that's one big thing that's missing is, you know, you can throw money at a wall, you can do whatever you want, but I think just being there and being able to help these kids grow and really like nurture their minds, because you never know what these kids are going through at home.
That's right.
And I grew up with a lot of them, right? So I know like their situation, they taking care of the family at, you know, 12, 13 years old. Like that's a lot. That's a lot to handle. Mm-hmm. And so for us, I think we try to use our platform to create things that will help those kids first. And then we build from there.
So you end up going pro, play G League, make it onto the regular squad, and then y'all go win a title.
Yeah.
You made history. You scored the most points ever in playoff game from somebody who was undrafted. You made your mark on the basketball court. But you took your success and you built a business with you and your brothers. And that kind of goes back to you saying, given the support. Now, if I read it correctly or if I absorbed it correctly, your production company is creating opportunities as well for people that are aspiring to, what is it, going to the production business, or is it content creating, stuff like that? Yeah. I think that's super dope, because honestly, it's always been about, people try to tell you, don't build your brand, like be a player, like be a player, like, nah, build your brand too.
Yeah,
you know, because you want your brand to be recognizable, whatever that brand is. I want my brand to be recognized as somebody who works hard. I'm a common dude with not so common expectations. Like that's my brand, you know, and I'm a bad motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Like, no doubt, let it be
that's
known.
My brand. You know what I mean? So in the end, I'm looking at what you've accomplished on the court. All these shows can do interviews on what guys have done on the court. Like, all right, got that J, scored them points. That's great.
Right.
But in the end, you're building something that's not only sustainable for you, you're building something that's sustainable for your siblings, and you're building something that's sustainable for your kids to transition into as well.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just talk about that mindset. How did that come about, y'all getting into the whole content creating deal, and how did that play a part in terms of, you know, you going to the league, and I'm certain you were the catalyst of making that happen.
Right.
So how did that all come about?
Well, just to be honest, man, I'm just like, you know, we talked about the upbringing a little bit. So I'm just more of like a make the most out of everything kind of guy. So with that being said, I kind of got my hands in as much stuff as I can without, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to keep basketball first. I know that's what afforded me this platform. And at this stage, you know, as you had a great long career, it becomes second nature. You know what I mean? You can do that. I can go play basketball. Like, that part is not that out of this world. Now I got to focus and all that stuff. But as I'm creating relationships and I'm building up this profile and this platform, I think one thing I do is I keep my guys close. So number one, we're all learning together at the same time. And number two, we are all accessing and having the same access to the opportunities at the same time, because it's not just about me. And I can go and have a long, successful, rich, wealthy career, but if all of my family and my friends and nobody else grows along the way, then that's going to be a pretty lonely road. So I think for me, I just always looked at it like, where we get stuck on American dream, first generation millionaires, but it's like, okay, then what? Like, okay, then I've never, the longest guys playing maybe in their 40s, 42, 43 maybe. I don't know how old Tom Brady is now, but like
45,
right? And that's unheard of.
That's unheard of. Yeah.
So for basketball and football, you know, you got, let's just be generous, a 10, 15 year window, right? And then you got a whole lot of life to live after that.
A whole lot left. Yeah.
So I understood that from day one, because I'm much more than a basketball player.
Word.
That's just what I do. And I try to use the platform to create situations. So we're kind of in every space, you know. We're in content, we're in management. My best friend is my manager, which is how we ended up on this show. He was just sitting next to Plex at the bar. Here we are. So my brothers is my business partners, and my other brother is my basketball trainer. So it's ways to do it, and they teach us to protect your money and don't spend and don't help people. But it's like, you can do it. You have to be smart. You have to be strategic, and it's not going to be easy, but you can definitely help your people along the way just by putting them in positions to win.
Indeed. That's well stated, man. I got two more questions for you now. I'm going to let you ride. First question or two. You didn't pass the eye test because of your height and all that growing up, whatever, hoops. But then you make it to Toronto and you're playing for the Raptors. And you kind of look like Drake, dog.
Yeah.
So now you all of a sudden, now you passing the eye test.
Yeah, like, no doubt.
What's the relationship like with Drake And how funny is that, that you got, you know, iconic dude that's like, you know, I'm certain he's a friend. Yeah. And super cool with you based off of everything y'all got going on with the team. Yeah. And stuff like that, that created an opportunity to bond. But what's that relationship like? And do y'all ever try to do stunt double type action, man?
Yeah, so it's crazy, right? Because I remember being, maybe I was a freshman in high school or sophomore in high school. His first tape came out and I was running it around, sharing it to everybody. You know, nobody really had heard of him at the time. I'm like, yo, I got to listen to this dude. Like, this been my favorite artist since I can remember, right? So this end up.
I mean, light-skinned dudes got to hang together.
Got to stick together.
Y'all got to stick together, right? I got you.
So, fast forward, this is how life works. I just end up in Toronto. I end up here, you know what I'm saying? I've been hearing I look like him since I was 15 years old. So it's just funny, right? And he's such a great dude that he played into it. You know what I mean? He kind of put his arm around me a little bit and we just were able to develop a nice friendship over the years. I'm going on my 7th year there. So yeah, he's just a cool dude, man. He means so much to that city and to Canada as a country. And, even to our team, you know, that's a good ambassador to have.
Give a perk, man. What's a perk of being down with Dreitsky, with Champagne Pappy?
I'll just say he's very generous. Like, all right. You know what I mean? He's very generous. He's moving pretty heavy. So, you know, if you find yourself in the same vicinity, you know what I mean? He's a very generous dude. He's a good dude.
Word.
Yeah.
Word.
Yeah.
All right. Last question, number two. What does Fred VanVleet Sr., when it's all said and done, when they sitting there and they saying their final, here are my goodbyes, here's how I remember him.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you want to know? What do you want to hear being said in that moment? What's your legacy?
I think my legacy is being a stand-up dude, first and foremost, a good guy, a stand-up guy, a family man, somebody who took his family from where they was to where they are now, created opportunities for everybody involved, and just took the name from, you know, being nothing to a staple and really just changing families' lives. Like, I'm gonna tell this quick story before we get out of here. So my high school basketball coach, very religious and spiritual guy, and he sat me down. I was having trouble being a leader. I was cussing my friend. Like, I was terrible. I was a bad teammate. And he made me read the Book of Psalms. And somehow within that time frame, I just remember it hit me like I found what my purpose was. And my purpose was to take my gifts and take it as far as I can. And with that, you're going to create change that helps so many people. And it used to be like, I want to say the world. And then I got a little older. I understood that's not realistic. So I'm going to just save my world. You know what I mean? And I'm going to put everybody in position and we're going to live long, happy, healthy lives and take care of these babies that we got and, you know, keep it moving forward.
And that's the legacy.
Yes, sir.
Hey, bro. Appreciate you,
man. No doubt, man. Thank you.
Keep banging, man. Keep chopping wood. You know what I mean?
Sir, every day.
One day at a time. Ten toes time. Down. You dig?
All day. Yes, sir.
My
appreciate
man.
You.
My
appreciate
man. You, I look brother. Forward to I'll meet you one day,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, we're going to get together. We're going to get together for sure.
My G. It's been real, man. Appreciate you. But before I let you go, let's do the outro. Here's the outro, y'all. This is Up On Game Presents Conversations with a Legend. And I talked to a GOAT, a legend in his own right, my man, Mr. VanVleet. Freddie, if you're nasty. Freddie. Hey, all right, man. Hey, you be well, man. You take care.
All right, bro. Be in touch. Thank you.
My man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. Okay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.